Oh, we're so grateful, our Father, for your grace, for your riches that release your power into our lives. We thank you. We stand today complete and whole by promise, by faith, and the promise is working mightily in us. It's working. The Word of God is working mightily, and we're so grateful. Help us to understand every word spoken today and speak to individuals as well as this corporate group. And we are so grateful that we're here together again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. John chapter 1. Jesus is given many names in the scripture, Old Testament, New Testament. And the one that's important to us today is Lamb, L-A-M-B. He's called the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. That's in Revelation. Here, John the Baptist did not know Jesus by sight, but was told the one who would come to him that the Spirit landed on like a dove would be Jesus. So he had a sign that he was looking for. Now, he had been preaching repentance through remission. Now, this is important, but he wasn't remitting sins because only Jesus' blood can remit sins. But he was telling them, this is what's coming. Remission, the blotting out, the canceling of sin, it is coming. And it's coming because of the full redemptive power of God and the sacrifice of Jesus. Now, verse 29, the next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. That's remission. To take away the sin of the world. Of the world. Do you see that? That's the sad part about spending eternity in hell, is that your sins were paid for. We need to let them know your sins are paid for. You know, if I went to the store and paid for something for you and they called you from the store and said, you know, someone has paid for this, you'd be right down there seeing what it was and picking it up. The next day, John, seeing Jesus coming, said, behold, the Lamb of God, which remits sin, blots out sin, cancels sin, puts away sin. He recognized Jesus as the Lamb. If you go through the New Testament, you'll find he's frequently called the Lamb. In Revelation, he's called the Lamb probably more than anything else. I don't think we realize that. Now, if you turn over to Revelation chapter 5, and you can go all the way to chapter 21, and he's called the Lamb of God, the Lamb that made the sacrifice, the Lamb that remitted sin, blotted out sin. You know, if you have a bill, it's called a remittance. You do know that, right? Mm-hmm. We're all that smart, right? And once you pay it, you don't have to pay it again. Amen. Now, when our electricity bill is under $200, we're real happy. Yeah. We're just real, real happy. I'm cold all the time. Wayne's always hot. So we have this running battle. So I have me a space heater. I can't do cold. I'll tell you how that happened. I said for years, I'm old and cold like my mother. And your words do come to pass. And I'm the coldest person on the face of the planet. And Wayne's mother must not have been cold because Wayne's always hot. Well, when sins are remitted, they're remitted by the Lamb of God. You'll find that in chapter 5. We'll read a couple. I want you to see the emphasis on the Lamb that remits, blots out, pays the price. Verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a Lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. You see it again in verse 13. Verse 12. Say with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. He's called the Lamb. Chapter 11, he's called the Lamb. Chapter 12, he's called the Lamb. Chapter 20, he's called the Lamb. Chapter 21, he's called the Lamb. It is the emphasis of the personality of Jesus. The personality of redemption was by Jesus, who was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. Now, Jesus came to redeem. I've got your vocabulary list up here. Remission. Reconciliation, righteousness, recreation. Redemption is to pay the price. Mm-hmm. Now, this word redemption was used of slaves. this little mother, she was a slave. Her daughter was born into slavery, and the slave owner was going to sell the daughter. And Mama cried out to God, and she said to God, this is a story you can read in some places. She said to God, if I could do this as easily as you could, I would. I think it was a bribe that worked for her. And so the man heard her crying out. The daughter was on the auction block, and the man heard her crying out, and he went and paid the price. He bought the girl, and then he gave her to her mother. He returned her to her mother. And that's what redemption means. It means to pay the price to set somebody free. And Jesus paid the price to set you free. And in paying the price, he remitted or blotted out your sins. He redeemed. Now, Jesus came to redeem. You see that in Luke chapter 1. This is a prophecy that was given. Okay. Verse 68 by Zacharias. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He hath visited and redeemed his people. That word visit means to come with a purpose. It's not that you just dropped in to be friendly. You came for some specific purpose. And the purpose he came was to redeem, to pay the price, to set you free so that your sins are remitted and blotted out. These words are very important. He came, now we used to visit my little grandmother, and she weighed in her latter years between 60 and 70 pounds. And there was a lot she couldn't do. She wasn't strong enough. So somebody would check on her every week and go over and help her buy groceries, take her to the beauty shop, vacuum. She wasn't strong enough to vacuum. Help her change the sheets and that kind of thing. After Granddaddy died, she lived in a senior citizen's high rise, and they helped her some. But the family always checked on her, and it was a visit for a purpose. So one day Mother called, and she said, Great-Granny's insisting, Mother's insisting on fixing a chicken dinner for somebody, and I want you to go over and help her because I can't get there. So I went over, and I got there about 10 o'clock. I don't know. Do you know when old people have lunch in that century? 11 o'clock. 10 o'clock, she's frying the chicken, and she's already out of breath. She was emphysema, and she was out of breath, and she was gasping, and I said, Granny, let me fry the chicken. I'm in my 30s, you understand. She said, no, I'll do it. And I said, well, you look like you need to sit down and rest a minute. Let me do it. She said, do you know how to fry chicken? I said, yes, ma'am, I believe I can handle this. You sit right there, and you sit right next to this stove, and you can tell me if you see I make any mistake. I'm just trying to smooth things over. She needed a helper. It was a visit to help. And Jesus came to visit to help. That's what that word means. And the first help he's going to give you is to redeem you or to pay the price. Now look at 1 Peter chapter 1. He came to pay the price, to redeem, to set you free. The price is paid, and it's by your confession of faith that you are set free, that you are fully redeemed. Now in 1 Peter verse 18, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. In other words, you can't buy your way out of this. It's a good thing because most of us wouldn't have enough money to buy our way out. From your vain conversation. Conversation in the New Testament is always behavior. It doesn't have to do as much with talk as it does with behavior. Received by tradition from your father. So what they were doing was what they had done for generations, was the following of the law that they had passed into them. And with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how you were redeemed, by the blood of Jesus. You were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. That's what paid the price, was his blood, not money. Now, when we define grace, everybody says divine favor. And that's shallow at best. Okay, that is accurate, but it's very shallow. If I favor you and I won't help you, you see, that's usually how people use that he favored you. But when somebody favors you and you call them, they're going to do for you, help for you, bring to you. They're going to do something to put you over. And when you get the grace of God, you get it through your faith. But the grace of God is the active power of God to redeem, to deliver, to set free. It's the active power of God. And without power, grace is ineffective. It's just good wishes. It's I wish you well. Now, look at Hebrews 9. redeem, pay the price. Now, if someone took your dog and you had this very, you know how pricey dogs are today? It's just amazing. Someone stole your dog and they notified you that for $10,000 you could buy your dog back. They want you to redeem it. They want you to pay the price. That's what it means. Pay the price to set you free. They want you to redeem that dog, to pay the price. And when we have this verse, verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained what? Eternal redemption. That's redemption that goes on and on and on and on. It never ends. It's continual. It's ongoing. Some of us tried that at Thanksgiving, didn't we? What didn't work out very well, did it? No. It is by the blood. Now, your dog belonged to you, but you lost custody of it. They want you to buy it back. And this word redemption is to buy back. And man was created by God. Adam was created by God. But through sin, he fell into the kingdom of Satan and had Satan's nature. And what Jesus is going to do, redeem by his blood, by the blood. It takes the blood. He's going to redeem by his blood to bring us back into the kingdom by grace. When our faith activates the grace and grace brings the power and we're free. Now these words run together. Now it's eternal redemption. And it says Christ entered into the holy place. And he's not talking about a temple on earth. You see that in verse 24. Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands. He's not talking about an earthly temple. We call it a church. Which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He shed his blood. He went to the, he came up out of the grave. He went to the, he saw Mary in the garden and he said, touch me not. I've not yet ascended to my Father. So he's going to the holy place in heaven to leave his blood there. Now somebody asked me, how did he gather up his blood? I have no idea. You answer that question, you tell us. He took his blood to the altar of heaven to leave it on that altar. And forever, when God looks across the altar of heaven, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of who? He is the Lamb. He is the Lamb. And in Revelation 21, it says the Lamb is sitting on the throne. It says the Lamb is the light. It says the Lamb is the temple. He is the Lamb. He's the sacrificial Lamb that rescued and delivered and set free. And that's an eternal redemption. It's continual. It's ongoing. And the blood in heaven proves that. And all I have to do is believe that. And when I believe, no matter what I'm believing for, if it's not illegal or immoral, you know, we have to eliminate the illegal, the immoral, then the blood of the Lamb secures that for me, brings that to me. Now, I was raised in church. I've been in church since church nursery. I've been in church all my life. And I came through church as an adult, and all I knew is Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and you get to go to heaven. That was the whole story. That's not even half of the story.
That's right.
And the resurrection, I can't recall being mentioned except at Easter time. Jesus' body was in that tomb, but Jesus was a spirit being. He was God, a spirit being, and he was in the place of sacrifice to pay the price for our sin. And when he came up, he stepped into his body, stepped out of that tomb, ran into Mary, and he said, now don't touch me. I've not yet been to my Father. He's going to that altar.
Yes, yes.
So that redemption is eternal. Mm-hmm. It's forever there. It's ongoing. It's continual. And through that redemptive plan, your sins were remitted, blotted out. Now, I know there's books, but your sins aren't in the books because your sins were blotted out. Now look at verse 26. Y'all are staring at me today. Are y'all all right? He must often have suffered since the foundation of the world. That means if he had to sacrifice for you over and over again. But now once in the end of the world, how many times did he die? Only once. In the end of the world, do you know that was the end of the world? You know how we're 2,000 years from the end of the world? That means you better be ready. That's what that means. Hath he appeared to put away sin or to cancel sin or to remit sin or to blot sin out? Now, in the Old Testament, look at chapter 10, verse For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins or remit sin or blot out sin. The blood of bulls and goats was for that season, and it covered sin. If you put on a glove, your hand is covered, but you're very well aware that your hand is there. And that's what it says. It says, verse 3, in those sacrifices, they're talking about the animals, there's a remembrance made of sins every year. But when your sins are blotted out, you don't ever have to remember them again. The thing I didn't like about some organizations, we came into Pentecost through the back door. We came from the church. And when they gave their testimony, they drug you through the mud. Mm-hmm. When they got through with you, you were gasping for breath. I was raised, we didn't even have a TV. Somebody said, you didn't see Bonanza? I said, how could I have seen Bonanza? We saw, Daddy finally got us a TV. We saw Lawrence Welk and Price is Right.
Yeah.
And Daddy guarded the TV, and you didn't put anything before your eyes. Now, we, besides that, Bonanza came on Sunday night, and we went to church on Sunday night. We went to church four times on Sunday, and once on Sunday night. And then we had to stay for choir practice because Daddy was the musician of the church. So we were always there, and I went through all of that, and I found out he died on the cross for my sins. I get to go to heaven when I die. And that's true. But it's not all the truth. He blotted out your sin. He erased it. He remitted. He eliminated it. It's gone. Now, one man told this story on himself. He made a tragic mistake. He was a minister, and he resigned from the ministry. He was a very good minister, and his friends begged him to work with God and let God forgive him, let God remit, let God blot out, and he wouldn't do it. And finally, because they harassed him, he agreed to preach at a church. And he pulled up in the parking lot of that church, and he heard a voice. Now, it wasn't the voice of God. Be very careful when you hear voices. And the voice said, I can't believe you're going to preach after what you did. When the devil brings it up, you put your foot on him in the name of Jesus, because he has no right to bring up what's blotted out. Well, he said, I'm going to go in and tell him I can't preach. I'm sorry, Pastor, but you'll have to think of something at the last minute. I can't do it. And he didn't get in before the second voice was the voice of God, and God said, what was it you said you did? Oh, it's gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, it's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God. My sins are G-O-N-E gone. Did y'all sing that? Y'all didn't go to church four times a day? Oh, my goodness. It's no wonder you're in such... Well, we won't talk about that. The blood of animals only covered sin. When Jesus came, they were blotted out. That's why the Old Testament says God has no remembrance. Somebody said, well, how does God just forget things? I don't know. I never try. I found out as a teacher, I don't try to answer. God didn't answer. If God didn't answer, we don't know. Someone asked me, the lady in a business, she said, are you a Bible teacher? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I have to know, my husband and I have been discussing this, we have to know how Cain got his wife. And I said, we don't know. God didn't say. That's the answer. If he didn't tell you, you don't know. We don't know. She said, but we need to know. I said, can't tell you. God hasn't said. There's enough that he has said that will put us over in life. If we just remember, grace is the favor of God that brings the power of God into your life to rescue and deliver and set free. And remittance is the blotting out of sin. It's the clearing of your slate. And redemption is the price that was paid so you could be free. And when you're free, there's no record against you. Now, I don't know anything about the crime system, but I suspect if you are a criminal, if you've committed some crime, there's a record somewhere. But God doesn't keep a record of your past. And he said, I'll never remember that. Well, I understand in my ripe old age, never remembering something. I have a thing about numbers. I don't know why my sister teases me. And I can remember numbers. What year they were born, what year they died. Mother's brother's the only one still living. He was born in 32. Mother was born in 24. Aunt Nell was born in 26. Mama died in 08, Daddy died in 10. They said, how are you remembering that? Well, I don't know. But see, there's a Spirit of God in you that remembers. There's a Holy Ghost who's in here, and He remembers. But He doesn't remember your sin. Now look at John 1, I believe it is. I want you to see again, verse 29. He said, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. Now you can take something away and you can put it in your closet. You can put it in your storage room. You can rent a storage unit. And you can go back. My sister's moved a couple times and we helped her move. And she had this storage unit where she had stuff. And every now and then she needed some of her stuff. And so we would go. She and Wayne, I stood in the hallway. I'm supervising. To find some of the stuff. But if Jesus goes looking, He's not going to find anything. Okay, look at Luke chapter 1. I know every now and then, you know I told a lie in sixth grade? Every now and then it comes back to me. Now, nobody in my family ever cursed. I never heard a curse word until I went to school. And every now I think about that. I said, why in the world would I do that? I knew better than that. And you can spend, the devil can hang you over the fire for hours and hours over something you did. And God will say, what in the world are you talking about? Gone, 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 gone. Remitted. Blotted out. Gone. So when you give your testimony, don't drag the rest of us through the mud of your life, okay? Amen. I remember the first testimony I heard that was uplifting, and I thought, oh, finally, victory. There's victory. There's victory. Okay, verse 76, chapter 1. Thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His way, to give knowledge unto the people by the remission of the sins. John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer is better, was simply teaching. He was preaching repentance, but he was teaching there's coming a repentance that is going to blot out and remit your sin. It's going to be over. That's the best news you'll hear today, except that by Jesus' stripes you were healed. Now, this word reconciliation, turn to 2 Corinthians 5. You know, if you have a bad marriage, you have a terrible marriage, you hire somebody to counsel you, to reconcile you to your wife, to get you to compromise, to get you to come together. And this word reconciliation is a coming together, but it's a coming together based on the work of the blood that has been done and the fact that your sins are remitted and the fact that you came by faith to receive the grace of the power of God to set you free. Now, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. He's been recreated. You've been recreated. You're new. Your spirit man is new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself. Jesus Christ was the one who shed His blood. He was the one who reconciled or brought us together. Reconciliation is unity and peace. He brought unity and peace, just like you'd say to the wife. A counselor just told this story of something I was watching, and this lady had not forgiven her husband. I don't know what he did. They never did say, and I appreciate that. And he said to the wife, did he ever forgive you? And she said, he never forgave me. Never, never, never forgave me. Been 10 years, by the way. That's what was so funny. And he said to the husband, did you forgive her? He said, I did. I did. He said, bring me a list of all you did to prove that you forgave. See, there has to be action where there's forgiveness. Jesus took action. And on my part, there has to be action if it's a rift between Wayne and I. Well, we don't need any counselors. ever. We've married 57 years, and we're still here together. But this counselor comes and said to the wife, he read his list, and she said, huh, he did forgive me, didn't he? I said, get a grip. It's over. It's finished. You're free. You're free. You're free. Reconciling, bringing the world to peace and unity. With that God was in Christ, reconciling the world, that's verse 19, unto himself. Not imputing. Do you know the word imputing? It's a counting term. Not counting up, not keeping record. Not imputing their sins. Why? He blotted them out. He reconciled you, and he didn't keep track of the reason that you needed reconciliation. Is that great? Is that good? Have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We're supposed to go out and teach the world about reconciliation, that God's not mad at you, that he's not keeping a record of what you did. Your slate is clean. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. The resurrected Lord. We talk about Jesus died on the cross for your sins, but the confession is not of the death, but of the resurrection. He's the resurrected Lord. So you've been united. You've been recreated. You've been redeemed. Your sins are blotted out. And now you're righteous. Righteousness means to be fully acceptable to God. Now, have you ever eaten anything that wasn't acceptable? Did you out y'all eat that? I had some of that myself. And where God doesn't keep record, I do keep records about my eating. And there's a couple restaurants that I will not eat at. Wayne said, you know they've had three owners since you had the food actually was soured. And the waitress said to me, wouldn't you like to have tuna today? I said, no ma'am, no thank you. She said, you sure you don't want tuna? I said, no, I really don't want tuna. I thought, what is wrong with her? And then I got what I ordered, and it was so over the hill. And she knew that. She'd been in the kitchen, and she knew that. But you're not over the hill. Jesus was on the top of the hill on the cross, and you're at the foot on your knees, saying, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Huh. You remember that restaurant? Every now and then Wayne says, you want to? I said, no, I don't want to go there. He said, Becky, it's been 25 years. I said, I'm not going. That's it. That's the way I am.
Cooks are gone. Nurses are gone.
I know. That's terrible, isn't it? I know. Yeah, yeah. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. We don't need a reconciler today. Now, I want to show you a couple more scriptures. Look at Acts 2:38. This is my introduction because I'm going to tell you something important about healing, but you got to understand the foundation. Acts 2:38. This is in Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Do you see? Repentance brings you in contact with a clean slate. Remission. Clean slate. It's an amazing, amazing thing, isn't it? Now look at Colossians 1:20. These are important words. Remit, blot out, clean slate, no record, reconcile, in unity, in harmony, at peace with God, righteousness, fully acceptable, recreation, the new creature, redemption, the price is paid. Colossians 1:20. This is the heart of the gospel. These words are the heart of the gospel. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things. Reconciliation brings peace. But peace is a lot more than not worrying and not being anxious. So when we think of peace, we think of I'm not worried, I'm not uptight, I'm not anxious. But that isn't what peace means at all in the scripture. That's the surface foundation of peace. But peace is the provision of God so that you can live successfully. You can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have a successful life, you don't have peace. Peace is the provision of God. So that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is set on thee. And when my mind is set on him, then I have peace in my mind because I know what he's going to do. And I know how to step forward with my faith and receive what's paid for. And to know I've been forgiven and there is an abundant provision for me. Now, this is where I was going. Y'all got those words? If I gave you a test, you got those? What does remittance mean? Huh? To blot out. Reconciliation? Unity and peace. Redemption? It's the payment of the price. I like it when people pay for me. I'm not going to fight with you. I had my $20 bill out. Wayne and I were at, I don't know if it's lunch or breakfast. And the waitress came and I was going to hand her a $20 bill. It must have been breakfast. It was a $20 bill to pay for our breakfast. And she said, well, it's paid for. Well, that didn't bother me. Does that bother you? I didn't say, no, 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 no. Let me worry about it. Let me ponder it. Let me think of it. I looked around. See, I didn't see anybody I knew, so thought, huh, well, okay. I said, this $20 bill must be for you, and I gave it to her as a tip. And that's what God does. He not only blots out, he not only makes abundant provision, but he gives a big tip. Amen. Is that amazing? Now, a few nights ago, I heard from God. That's where I'm going, in the middle of the night, which is when I hear from God. And he said, the road to eternity... The road to eternity. In other words, I am on my way to heaven and to eternal places. So the road to eternity is full of blessings.
Thank you, Jesus.
The road to eternity is full of blessings. In other words, it's not an empty road. It's not that I get saved today, and if I hang in there, I get to go to heaven when I die. There's a lot in that road. There's a lot between me and the day I enter heaven. And when I enter heaven, I have in that realm of glory. What blessings are on the road? See, if you're just living life, crossing your fingers, hoping to get there when you die, you've missed the fullness of the blessings that are bought and paid for between me today and my heavenly home is a barrage of paid for blessings. Look at Isaiah 53. Verse 4, surely hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Born our griefs, carried our sorrows. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. There is a difference in transgression and iniquity for the purpose of our purposes. You don't need to know that. So that's the price of sin. And that's usually as far as the church teaches. Most of the church, well, that's as far as they go. You can be saved. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. In other words, the price, you don't have peace if you don't have a way to get where you're going and have the need that you need. It means there was a price paid so that you could function. And when you function well, it means to be successful on the road of life. To be successful. That's why you have peace, because you have everything you need to get to your destination. In 3 John, it says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper. That word prosper does not have to do with money per se, although money is a part of prosperity. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. It doesn't say he wants you to be healed. Pay close attention. It says he wants you to walk in health, and there's a difference. And if I get to it, I'll show you. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper. And that word prosperity in 3 John means to have a successful journey through life. It means to travel down the road and get where you're going. Is that amazing?
Yes.
And be in health, prosper. It's the same thing, it's the equivalent. If I meet you downtown and we talk a minute, and then I get ready to go, because I get ready to go quick, because I'm not much of a conversationalist, actually. And I would say, "We'll have a good day." What does that mean? It's the same thing as this word, shalom, be at peace. Have a good day means anything you want to accomplish today, I believe you can accomplish it. I believe you can have enough money to accomplish it with. I believe you can get home on time. I believe your children or your grandchildren will be there waiting on you to hug your neck or your dog. Peace, prosperity. It means to travel down and get to your destination, to have everything you need to live successfully and to get from the day you're born to the day you ascend into heaven and to have. And the reason you have peace is because you made a successful trip. If you were leaving here to go to the mountains and you hit the Florida line, you had a flat tire, okay, already you're a little unhappy. And you get to the mountains. We got there a day early one year. And the man was cooperative. We called and said, "Is the house empty?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Could we have it a day early?" He said, "For $80. I said, "Okay, that's fair." If he had said, "No, you have to wait till tomorrow and I have to find a hotel room or something," you know, that would have. Peace, your provision, everything you need, it's paid for. The chastisement of your peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. Now, once you get healed, you can walk in health. Health is the absence of disease. Now, look at 3 John. These things are on the road. You see these? All of these things are on the road. It's not an empty. It is a narrow road. The scripture tells us that. But it's not an empty road. It's not just a road, there's nothing there, and you just have to do the best you can and get to the heavenly portals, the heavenly places. It's a road that's covered with blessing. And it's because of the great plan of redemption, because you've been redeemed and you're now recreated and you're a child of God, you have eternal life or the life of the eternal one. And you're united with God and at peace with God and you're fully acceptable to God. And on that road, after this great plan of eternity, this great plan of redemption puts you on the road to heaven. And when you get on this road to heaven, down this road is blessing after blessing after blessing. He says, "I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness." How many things? How many things is all things? All things. Well, I think we should know about the things. I didn't know beans about healing. I taught my first lesson on healing because they assigned it to me, and I begged off, but they wouldn't let me off, and so I'm just going to quote a book they gave me to read. I'm just going to quote the book and say, "This man said, and this man believes," because I don't know what I believe. I never heard of healing in my life. Healing was on the road, but we didn't know it at our church. It was on the road. We could have picked it up. We could have functioned in it. We didn't know it. And poverty was such a blessing. Do you remember that theory? It was such a blessing to be poor and to be dedicated to God in your poverty. And all of that time, prosperity and abundant provision was paid for and was on that road. All I had to do is pick it up. All I had to do was function in it. I've been redeemed. My debt is paid. It's gone. I'm acceptable. I'm a child of God living in unity and peace with God. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I'm headed to heaven when I die. And on that road to heaven is blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing.
Yeah.
Now turn to 3 John. Let's just look at that verse and read it. We've got time to read a couple verses. We used to sing that. Blessing after blessing just keeps on following me. Do you remember that? Do y'all not know any music at all? This is the dumbest class I've ever taught. But, well, it's because Miss Doris is in heaven. And Miss Melinda's not here today. She sings. She knows my songs. And Miss Doris always did. But she went to heaven. She got to, when you've come to the end of the way, you've come to the end of your day. Do you know that one? You will see the great King in his glory when you come to the end. You're coming to the end, and while you're coming to the end and walking down this road towards the end, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, or 50 years, there's blessing after blessing. Just keeps on following me. Put your faith out there and get it. You can't get it if you keep contradicting it with your mouth. I read, don't write this down, that if you wipe your feet and Vicks Vapor Rub when you have a cold, you'll get immediately over your cold. Yeah. I read that. I don't think that's the truth. I'm not sure, but it doesn't sound true. But when you read it in this word, it's the truth. Find out what you need. Find out what's there. It says, if you, being a father, give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall God give good gifts? He has good gifts to you. He has blessings for you. He'll meet all your need. It's paid for. It was paid for at Calvary. Now, what scripture did I tell you to look at? 3 John. Pastor Steve apologized for hollering at y'all last week, but I thought, no, they're used to that. Verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper, that you have a successful journey through life, that you have, it means to have help on the road of life. Well, whose help do you need on the road of life? Almighty God. And be in health. It's not talking about healing. It's talking about health. Now, if you look back and think, I haven't had the flu in 20 years. You had a season of health. Now, health is to be continual, ongoing. Yes. But if you hadn't had a cold or a sore throat or a sinus infection in 10 years, you'd think, oh, it'd come to you, think, oh, is that amazing? Even temporary health is a wonderful blessing. You think, oh, that is so amazing. Instead of everybody saying, don't breathe on me. Health. Now let me show you something about health. Turn to Exodus. If y'all don't shout on this one, give you an F. I actually can't give you an F because I did not see this. I heard a man say it on TV, and I went right to my Greek and Hebrew 23, I believe it's chapter 23, and check this out. We quote this verse a lot. I love this verse, verse 25. It says, you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall take thy bread and thy water. He shall bless thy bread and thy water. Well, that's a good thing. That's why I don't go to some restaurants. They were not a blessing. It says, I will take away sickness from the middle of you. I'll take sickness away. Now, we give that a very trite and shallow understanding. And this man on TV, I looked it up. I checked him out. It means turn off. And in the Hebrew, it says, I'll turn sickness off. That's what this verse says. I will turn it off. Amen. And you know how it gets turned back on? With the words of your mouth, with what you said. I feel terrible. My knee is hurting me. Okay, the cure for the day is Vicks. If it'll cure your cold from your feet, it'll do anything else. My grandmother swore by 3S's tonic. And 3S's was taken off the market. And one day she said she had to have some 3S's. And so she didn't ever drive. So I went downtown. She lived in Winter Haven. There was an old drugstore there. I thought, you know, nobody sells 3S's. There's a reason nobody sells 3S's. It's quite vile. So I went and I said, do you by any chance have 3S's tonic? He said, oh, yes, ma'am, we have. I checked the expiration date. I was concerned about three. She swore by 3S's tonic, paregoric, and Vicks Vapor Rub. That's right. That's the cure of the day, wasn't it? I will take sickness away. I'll turn it off. When you turn your faucet off, it doesn't come back on unless you turn it on. He said, I'm going to turn it off. Do you want your sickness turned off? What is health? What is health? It's when sickness and disease is turned off. And it's on this road. Amen. It's on this road. It's already paid for. Health is paid for. Abundant supply is paid for. It's paid for. You can walk down the road of life straight into the portals of heaven with your hands full. Because he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What does that leave out? And Romans 8, it says, all things are given to us through the cross. All things. And Ephesians 1:3 says he's given us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Well, is there health in heaven? It says heaven is free of the curse. And it says the Lamb who paid the price is on the throne, lighting the way. Is that amazing? So take your mouth and turn it off. Say, today, because of Jesus' resurrection and death, because I'm reconciled, because I'm acceptable in heaven, because I have peace with God, because my sins are blotted out, I'm turning off sickness. I'm turning it off. I'm turning it off. And every time you call for sneeze or your foot hurts or you have a pain in your side, I don't care what it is, take your mouth and turn it off. Would you like to turn off some disease?
Yes.
You can whisper your disease quietly to the Lord. We don't care what you've got. We don't care if you don't have anything. You can whisper somebody else's disease. We don't care. Say, okay, raise your hand to heaven. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm turning off this disease. I'm turning off heart disease. I'm turning off diabetes. I'm turning off arthritis. My aunt, you say, all the itis boys. We're turning all them off. So I'm turning it off. Turning it off. And then Nahum 1:7 says, this affliction shall not arise the second time. And I say, this disease shall never arise again. It has been turned off. We have a faucet at our house that won't turn on. My sister was there the other day and she said, do you know you have a faucet in your bathroom that doesn't turn on? I said, yes, we do know that. We have just turned off disease by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and your word of your testimony. What's your testimony? I have turned off. The sacrifice of the Lamb has turned off. That's what health is. Turn it off. Keep it off. How are you going to keep it off? With your mouth. Oh, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for the price paid, for all the blessings that are on the road of life. We pick them up with our faith. And our faith brings the power. Grace makes the provision. And the power makes the delivery. We're so grateful. We don't have to go through life empty-handed. We don't have to go through life begging. We don't have to go life wondering if we're going to make it. We boldly declare, these diseases have been turned off by the blood of the Lamb. Turned off! Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That this affliction will not arise the second time. We're grateful. We're so grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.